1 Kings chapter 18, if you would. I'd teach my brother if I'm not up here to sing a chorus or do something, you know. Shift gears, you know. 1 Kings chapter 18, if you will, tonight. Going to read, oh, a little bit more sometimes than normally do. Beginning there in verse 3, if you will. The Bible said, "And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, for it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, Go into the land unto all fountains of water and unto all brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. So they divided the land between them to pass through it, throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him and fell on his face and said, Art thou that, my lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, What have I sinned, that thou wouldst deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said, He is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. Now notice they were hunting hunting Elijah, but now they're hunting grass. All right. Verse 11, And now thou sayest, Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee, whether I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave, and fed them with bread and water? And now thou sayest, Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. Obadiah is an interesting individual in the Bible, to me anyway. In studying for the message, I read through some books that I've got, and I found two fellows with two different opinions. And he said, Who's right? I am. I read what they had to say and thought about it. But Obadiah is just an interesting individual. The Bible tells us, if you will notice, okay, in verse 3, that Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. Look, that's what God said. We can count on it. It's true, all right? That's a good thing. We ought to fear God. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 9:10 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So at least Obadiah had the beginning of wisdom. We're also told right after that in verse 4 how Obadiah had taken and hidden 100 prophets of the Lord when they were threatened by Jezebel. He had taken and hidden them and provided for them to save their lives. But on the other hand, we find Obadiah was Ahab's right-hand man. That means he worked with and in the house of Ahab. So what's wrong with that? Well, Ahab's one of the most wicked kings that the nation of Israel ever had. So here's a fellow the Bible said he feared the Lord greatly, but here he is hand in glove with one of the most wicked men and that ever ruled the nation. Said, what are you going to do with that, preacher? Well, I want to take this passage tonight and I want to speak to you on the subject of yesterday's work won't suffice for tomorrow. All right? Yesterday's work won't suffice for today. And won't suffice for tomorrow. So take a look with me, if you will, at the Word of God. First of all, I want you to remind you again that Obadiah had stood in the past, okay? Obadiah had stood in the past. What he had done was good. He had the courage to do the right thing. A lot of people never get to that point. A lot of people never get to that point. A lot of God's people, when the time comes to stand up and to do something, to do the right thing, they just kind of blend away and melt into the background and don't do what God would have them to do. All right? But that was not the case with Obadiah. He stepped up. He did the right thing to the point that he risked his own life in what he did. Took his own life, risked that. Look, Jezebel was nobody to toy around with, okay? Man, she was a mean old gal. She hated God. She hated the prophets of God. She got after them, the Bible said, and when she cut off the prophets of the Lord, he took care of them. He hit those guys. It took some courage to do that. He's risking his own life. I mean, would you risk your life to serve your Lord? Well, I don't know. And I dare say that's the honest answer for all of us, because until that time comes, I don't believe we will know. But he did. He did that. He risked his life. At the same time, obviously, he had to risk his position. Amen. He was the governor. That's the way they put it, right? The governor of the house, you know, of Ahab's house. And there he was, had a great high position, very well obviously respected by Ahab. So he risked his life. He risked his position in what he did in doing the right thing. Then it goes a little further. He had spent and been spent for the cause of God. He provided sustenance for these men out of his own resources, okay? I don't think he had a sign up saying, "I'm collecting food for the prophets of God." He didn't have a sign up doing that. That would have meant his life for sure, all right? So here he is. He takes of his own finances. He takes of his own resources. And he got provisions for those 100 prophets. I don't know if you tried to feed 100 preachers. That'd be a job. We said, well, the only thing they ate was bread and water. Well, they either had some bread that swelled or they had to have a lot of it, okay? But, I mean, he took care of them. You with me? Hey, commendable, commendable thing. What he had done was magnificent. It was marvelous. But I want to say this to you. It's another day. It is now another day. That work for the Lord in the past had been good. God remembered what he had done. God will remember what you do. Nothing you do for the Lord will go unnoticed. The Lord said, man, if we even give a cup of water in his name, you'll not lose your reward. God keeps good records, all right? God keeps very good records. So you don't have to worry about, well, if I serve the Lord, he's not going to realize what I do. He won't keep track of it and it'll get lost. No, it won't. People may not know what you do, but that's all right. People are not going to reward you. God will. So what he did was good. God remembered him. But yesterday's work won't suffice for today. Yesterday's work won't suffice for today. I believe with all my heart, God was giving him another chance to serve. God was opening another door of opportunity. Our God is a good God. Our God is a good God. You know, sometimes people rush headlong into service for God. They're enthusiastic. They have a lot of zeal. And boy, I mean, they're at it, and that's good. Not discounting that. But oftentimes, we're what I would call bashful. We're shy. We kind of hold back. Now, given the opportunity, we'll serve. Now, sometimes we have to be nudged in the right direction. But, I mean, God gives us. I believe God repeatedly and continuously will give us an opportunity to serve him. Wherever you are, whatever stage of life you are in, God will give you an opportunity to serve him. I mean, you know, you may be hampered. There may be a lot of things that your testimony is, well, I can't do that. But that's okay. It's not what you can't do that you ought to focus on. It is, what opportunity is God going to give me? What opportunity is he going to give me to serve him? Now, I believe you ought to keep your eyes open for the opportunities. right? You ought to keep your eyes open for the opportunities. But I believe he will give us an opportunity to serve him. We give testimony from Brother McNabb. Here's Brother McNabb. He cannot go up and down the streets knocking on doors. He can't do that. But when God put him over there in the VA hospital, he took a handful of tracts, and everybody that came in, he witnessed to them. Everybody said, "What's he doing?" The opportunity opened. He took advantage of the opportunity. He's taking advantage of the opportunity, all right? So it's up to us to step up and take advantage of those opportunities. You say, "Well, how did it come to Obadiah?" Look in verse 7, would you? Look at the way it says this. "And as Obadiah was in the way." As Obadiah was in the way. Now, what way was he in? Well, he was just simply in the way of doing what he had been told to do. You with me? He was just there. Ahab said, "I'll go this way looking for grass. You go that way looking for grass. If you find any, let us know. We're going to try to save the horses, all right? We're going to try to save their beasts. So you go that way." So here's Obadiah in the way. In what way? In that way. That's his daily work. That's what he was sent to do. There he is. He's in the way. I believe opportunities come along as we're in the way. Opportunities come along as we're in the way. Just out and about doing what you do, okay? Doing what you do. Going about our daily work, going about different things that come along, opportunity comes. But notice it came here, if you will, at verse 8. Verse 8, he meets Elijah, and Elijah says, "Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here." There's the opportunity. There's the opportunity, all right? There it is. That opportunity came through information from the preacher. You with me? It came through information from the prophet of God. Say, "Preacher, are you going somewhere with this?" Yes. Sometimes I stand here and say, "Hey, we need somebody to take care of this or this." That's an opportunity along the way, all right? That's an opportunity along the way. Now, it's provided, okay? That opportunity is provided. Here you are. You're present. You're here. And you're sitting there comfortable thinking, "Man, you know, amen, preacher, keep it." Whoa, what? Are you trying to say you want me? No, I'm trying to tell you God's given you an opportunity. God's given you an opportunity. God, it comes oftentimes that way. Now, by the way, it doesn't have to come that way. You can just stumble across them sometime, all right? You can just stumble across them. I don't want you to say, "Well, preacher, I'm sitting here until you tell me." No, you don't just have to sit until somebody tells you. If you see the opportunity, you take advantage of it, all right? Here's Obadiah, a man that has done some great things for God in the past, no doubt. And the Lord now says, "Okay, Obadiah, I've opened the door for you. Here's you another chance. Here's something else you can do for me." But here's where it gets interesting. Look at verse 9. See, Obadiah's answer to him, I believe, is very revealing. Because I believe what we see here is a definite change in an attitude. And a change in the matter of his faith. Really, what he says, Elijah, "You want me to get killed?" If I don't know if you were paying attention, all right, but as we read down through here, did you notice three times? He said, "He'll slay me." Three times he said, "He'll slay me. What you're asking me to do is going to get me killed." Hey, where was that courage? Where is that courage that he exhibited before? Where's that courage? What happened to it? Where was that faith in God? Where did it go? Before, man, he risked his life to hide and feed those 100 prophets. What happened to that faith? What happened to that courage? I mean, there, something went on. Something went on. Something happened to change it. His attitude was not, what can I do and how can I serve? It's, you want to get me killed. And everything you're saying to do, you'll get me killed. I'll die. And not only that, but notice the doubt he puts upon the man of God. In verse 11 and verse 12, he said, you tell me, go tell that, behold, Elijah's here, and it'll come to pass, as soon as that happened, I'm gone, the Spirit of the Lord will suck you out of here, and I won't know where you are. Hey, that's a doubt. As soon as I tell Ahab, you'll disappear, and I'll get killed. You say you're here now, but how long will you be here is his question. He's doubting the man of God. He's doubting the prophet of God. Here's Elijah's told him, you go tell your Lord, behold, Elijah is here. I didn't find any grass, but remember that fellow you've been looking for? I found him. Now he testifies to the fact they've been looking for him everywhere. Everywhere. Surely he ought to have the idea, if we've been looking for him, Elijah, Ahab would be glad to know, I found him. I found him. But that's not it. Instead, his attitude has changed completely. His attitude now is an attitude of doubt. I don't believe you. I don't believe you'll be here. I'll go tell him and you'll disappear and I'll get killed. I'll get killed. And you know, hey, there it is. Second time he said, I'll get killed. Do you understand? You see what I'm saying about Obadiah? Here's a man that once did some great things, but now another opportunity comes up, and boy, is he backpedaling along the way. Is he beginning to say, wait a minute, hold it. I'll get killed. I'll go down there and tell him, and you'll disappear. But then I want you to notice what Obadiah said. In verse 13, was it not told, my Lord, what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord? How I hid 100 men of the Lord, huh? And a prophet, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? What's he saying? Now, I'm going to say it to you this way. I've never heard anybody say, I did that. But I have heard people basically say this. Preacher, I've put in my time. I've done my part. I've put in my time. I did my part. I need to remind you, I did this and I used to do that. And I did those things. That's what Obadiah's doing. He's telling him, all right? I find it so interesting. I find it so interesting that at the very end of verse 12, he predicates what he's about to say in verse 13 by saying, I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. And I've put in my time. When I was younger, I did those things. Hey, yesterday, I did what I did. I did what I could. Here's Obadiah. He doesn't mind tooting his own horn about what he's done in the past. I'll remind you, didn't they tell you about what a wonderful job I did? Surely they did. As I say, to me, I look at this and it almost seems like Obadiah is saying, I've put in my time. I've already done my part. You shouldn't be asking me to risk my life again. You shouldn't be asking me to use up what time I have left. What a bad attitude. What a wrong attitude. And by the way, can I say this? Because I don't want anybody here to go home and say, man, that preacher's picking on us older folks. I'm not. I'm talking to all of you. Sometimes there's a mentality we get into that I've done my part. But wait a minute. Are you still alive? Are you still, as my dad said, used to say, I'm able to sit up and take nourishment. Well, if you're still able to do that, isn't there something, if God opened the door, don't you want to do it?
Man, don't you want to have that chance to say, yes. It doesn't matter if anybody. Look, I don't know why you serve God. I don't know what motivates you at all. I do not do what I do for the applause of men. I do not do what I do so people stand up and cheer and raise my name up. I don't care about that, but it's just the privilege of serving the King of Kings. The very fact that God would use us, those weak vessels, those that, you know, are so crippled in so many ways. But God says, hey, I open the door. I don't want to miss that opportunity. Obadiah, though, for the third time reiterates, he'll kill me. He shall slay me. Here's a fella whose whole argument is, I've already done that. Now, as I read these scriptures, I even talked to my wife about this past scripture. She told me to preach it. No, she didn't. I was kidding, all right? I told my wife, I said, you know, I've been studying, looking at Obadiah, and I told her I've read, and this guy said this, and this guy says that, and neither one of them said exactly what I'm saying to you tonight. But, man, I look at him, and I can't help, but here's the guy that's done great things, and he now has another opportunity to stand up for his Lord and for his God, and he says, uh-uh, I want to do that. I don't want to be involved. Listen, it's a mistake on our part to turn down any opportunity to serve our Lord. That is a terrible mistake, to turn down any opportunity. Man, can you imagine? You do understand that the Bible says we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the deeds we've done in this body, whether they be good or whether they be bad, all right? Good or evil, doesn't matter, we'll give an account. Man, can you imagine what it would be like to stand there and the Lord begin to look over your record, and he's got a marvelous record, and he begins to check off, man, look at that, you did good right there. And here, man, what a blessing, you served me, you did that. You did that, man, you did good. And then there was a little dry spell. And then, oh, man, I gave you a chance and you turned it down. I gave you the opportunity. You turned it down. I've had people tell me, preacher, let somebody else do that. Yeah, but you are qualified. You are experienced. But could you let somebody else do that? You're physically able to do that. You can do that. Look, man, thank God for what you did yesterday. But that won't suffice for today. It won't suffice for tomorrow. Here, God's going to open a door for you. Don't neglect the door. Don't turn and look the other way. Don't turn your back on that opportunity. Instead, say, all right, another chance. Man, I didn't know I'd ever get another chance to do this. Praise God, I'm in. I'm in. I want to be involved. I'll give it my best shot. I'll serve you, Lord. You give me a chance to stand up for you. Elijah, you say to go tell Ahab that you're here. I'll go tell him. I'll go tell him. He's been looking for you. He's been looking for you. So here's Obadiah gives all his arguments. I want you to look at verse 15. And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. Can I just say this? Wouldn't have Obadiah looked better if we didn't have verse 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14? Wouldn't Obadiah have looked better? In my Scofield Bible, this section that we've just read has a little heading, and it says it's a believer out of touch with God. Maybe that's what it was. But man, Obadiah would look a lot better if those verses weren't there. If those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, if those 6 verses were not there, we'd have a better view of Obadiah. He said, what are you saying? Well, one thing I'm saying, his argument didn't work. His argument about, hey, wait a minute, whoa now, you don't understand. I go do that, you'll disappear, he'll kill me. Wait a minute, you don't understand. Now, don't you remember you heard about the great things I've done in the past, right? How in the world can you be asking me to do something else, all right? I mean, what is wrong with you? But his argument didn't work. Elijah basically brushed aside his arguments, assured him that he intended to meet Ahab that very day, and basically said, I don't care what you say, go tell him. Go tell him. I told you to do it, go do it. Hey, when God opens the door, we ought to have that attitude. God said, do it, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'm not going to draw back. I'm not going to pull away. I'm not going to say, not me. No. I'll tell you this, our arguments don't sound as good to God as they might to us. Let me say that one more time. Our arguments don't sound as good to God as they might to us. You see, the Bible in Romans 11:29 says, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. God's called us to serve Him. God's called us, all right? When you got saved, you got in the family of God. You got in the family of God. Being in that family carries responsibilities. Gives you some responsibilities. The truth of the matter is, when you got saved, you got in the family of God, you signed up in the Lord's army. You put your name, you said, I don't remember signing anything. God signed for you. He took care of that. He put your name on that, all right? And I just want to reiterate this and remind you, there is nothing more important than serving Him and doing His will. Nothing more important for you and I than serving Him, doing the will of God, all right? Our job is not to dodge the opportunities that come our way. Not to do that. Sometimes we can easily transfer our job to somebody else. We hand it off. We've got the utensils in our hand, but we say, hey, here, you take care of that. I used to give, don't take this as a negative. I want you to go around saying things I don't intend, but I used to give Brother Trangmar a hard time. I said, man, you're the best one at attending responsibility to somebody else I've ever met. I'd tell him that. You're the best delegator. That's the word I was trying to come up with. Said, you're the best delegator I've ever met. All right. Now, there's nothing wrong with that up to a point. But sometimes we miss out in our job of not taking care of what God wants us to do. And God gives us that opportunity. We're not to dodge it, all right? And to be honest with you, what we are to do is seek them out. Seek them out. We've got kids at school. We go out for PE. We play certain games. I've watched some of them somehow or another never seem to come up to bat. They never seem. I mean, everybody on their team's batted three times. They haven't hit one. Or kicked, whatever it is. They're just good at dodging. They can be in the lineup and keep slipping back. Keep sliding away. Why? Well, I don't like to do that. I don't think I'm any good. Now, to be honest with you, some of those kids, that requires effort, and I don't want to give any, all right? That's the truth of the matter, all right? Hey, you and I are not to dodge the opportunities God gives us. To be honest with you, we ought to seek them out. We ought to seek them out. The truth of the matter is, when God's looking for somebody to do something, our hand ought to be up. Lord, could you use me right there? Could you use me right there? Lord, I'm willing. Could I be the one? Would you pick me? But all too often we're hiding behind the pulpit. we go to the bathroom when they're picking somebody to do something. Oh, listen, don't let that happen to you. The truth of the matter is, thank God He gives us opportunities. Thank God He gives us opportunities to serve Him. Now, sometimes we say, preacher, I just don't know. I don't say, that means keep your eyes open. Be on the lookout for the opportunity. And you just wind up the message. Don't look to get out. Look to get in. All right? Don't look to get out. Look to get in. What you did for Jesus Christ yesterday, marvelous though it may have been, blessed though it may have been, rewarding it may bring to you, it doesn't exempt you or me from service today or tomorrow. That was yesterday. That was what I did then. I've stood today the second time to preach. Next Sunday morning, if I get up and say to you, I did that last Sunday, y'all going to be going, bless God, we're looking for a new preacher now. Hey, it can't be, you know, it can't be, well, I did that. But this is a new day. This is a new opportunity. Hey, don't, whatever you do, don't lose your desire to serve God. Don't let that happen to you. Don't lessen in faith. Don't get to the point where I kind of think Obadiah did, that Obadiah got to that point where he said, God took care of me before, but I'll get killed this time. My number will get up and it won't work. Hey, his faith wasn't what it had been. Don't let that happen to you. Don't seek to be excused, but seek to be used. Seek to be used of God. What a privilege it is. What a privilege it is that God chooses to use you and I. God uses people. In the New Testament, there were times when God spoke from heaven. He could still do that. He could still do that. But you know what? Instead, He seeks to speak through us. And He gives us that opportunity. He gives us the chance for Him to use us, for us to be a blessing. As we serve Him, He opens the door. He opened the door again for Obadiah, and Obadiah said, wait. But Obadiah wound up going anyway. Man, if he'd have just went. Say, where's the lesson for you and me? Don't make the preacher have to talk you into it. Man, if you know the opportunity's there and you can do it, step up. Say, I'll do it. Step up, I'll do it. Now, you may not be able to do everything, but that's all right. Now, if there's opportunity and you step up and say, preacher, you think I can do that? If for some reason I don't think you're the person, don't take offense. Don't take offense. But I mean, look, let's be willing. Let's don't lose our desire. Lose our desire. I believe I've known people that lost their desire to live. I believe my wife's mother did that. Just be honest with you. I believe she lost her desire to live, so she died. Hey, you lose your desire to serve God, you won't do anything for Him. But don't lose that desire. As long as He's left you here. Can't do what I used to can do, but you can do what you can do. Do what you can. Would you stand, please, with heads bowed? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to You tonight, just a simple thought, simple message. Lord, here's Obadiah in the Scriptures, a man who, You tell us, feared the Lord greatly. But Lord, he had done great things in the past, but something happened to him along the way. Something happened where his attitude changed, his faith seems to have lessened.